Hi everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of the Inside the Ropes Raw Rundown. The Raw Rundown, which is obviously where we run down the events of Monday Night Raw. Isn't that correct, David?
I believe that is what we do. I could be incorrect, though. It's been a week since we said it.
That's true, so you never know. But David, before we begin, this is episode 7, you know?
Ooh, which lucky number 7.
7's always the best, because it 7... is. Like, the Nightmare on Elm Street 7th sequel was very good. Halloween 7 was otherwise known as H2O with Jamie Lee Curtis and Josh Hartnett. So 7's got a lot going for it, and I think we can continue that trend.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can do that. What's with all the horror movies, Kenny? Why are you pulling this out?
I think it's because I just went to see The Purge. I have violence on my brain. The Purge.
How was The Purge? How did The Purge stack up to Netflix's Stranger Things?
Well,
both watched. We have, like, simultaneously.
Well, here's the thing, right? I really love The Purge movies. Like,
sure.
I really like them. Now, they're not...
Yeah, America is electing a president that's going to, you know, usher that in.
Well, the thing is, like, because Purge is not, like, a high-class horror movie or anything, but, like, it's good fun, and it's, like, it's slasher. I like it, so anyway. They had, like, a political twist on it this year where, like, a woman was running for president who had... Her family had been killed in front of her by the Purge, so she wanted to get rid of it. And then they were planning to kill her during the Purge. So it's very good. However, Stranger Things. Fuck me. What a show.
Absolutely. That's so good.
Rarely does a show in an 8-episode run not have a slightly duff episode.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah.
There's one where you go, oh, episode 5 was a bit shit. But apart from that, everyone hooked.
Yeah. Yeah, but this one just really good. Really, really solid. Who was your favorite character, Kenny?
I'm not going to give anything away in this podcast about it.
Of course not. Of course not. This is a spoiler-free zone.
Spoiler-free zone. But what I will say, and this will, for people who've watched it, this will be apparent, and if you've not watched it, I'm not really giving anything away. I enjoyed how they told the character of Steve.
Steve's good. Steve is a interesting character.
And Winona Ryder was
personally. I'm a fan of Dustin because Dustin just grew up to be David McCutcheon.
I do feel like if we did an Inside the Ropes prequel, you would be Dustin.
No, easily. No. I do love Dustin. Everybody keeps on tweeting me about Dustin, and I'm like, you know, the reason that you guys like Dustin and follow me, there is correlation there, I think.
Whereas, like, for me, I like to think that I'm Steve, but I'm probably Jonathan.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And, you know, Robert is clearly Michael.
Now, see, I was thinking...
The dad?
Oh, man, the dad was so, like, clueless, wasn't he?
He was just a bizarrely cast pair. If you've not watched Stranger Things, this is the most boring conversation for you.
It is. But if you haven't, why haven't you?
You should go watch it. Like, it's very, very good.
Right. It totally is. I love it.
Now, David, let me ask you a question.
Sure. I love questions, Kenny.
Do you like wearing T-shirts?
I wear T-shirts every day. I work from home. You guys, I don't know, little known fact, Inside the Ropes isn't my full-time gig, but I do both from my living room.
You would think that the salary that I pay you for the Raw Rundown would be enough to keep you in full-time
It's so overabundant.
I pay you the exact same that What Culture paid you, so, you know.
Oh, shit, sir.
When you can pop your co-host, you have done well.
I was going to say, kudos. But we digress. I love T-shirts, Kenny. I eat them for breakfast. What are you serving up right now?
So, if you love T-shirts and you love Inside the Ropes, you know what the best thing in the world would be?
I would guess if they made an Inside the Ropes T-shirt.
Well, luckily, what you can do is go to squaredcircle.com and you can purchase your very own Inside the Ropes T-shirt. You can be in that elite gang of, like... 20 people that have them, crew, family members. We've never put it on sale before with this new brand spanking logo. The old logo was on sale, but that's old hat. Who wants the old logo? we're all about the new here on Lake Vince Russo.
You gotta get the newest, latest thing. Otherwise, your neighbor's going to get it. And you don't want to be second rate to that cocksucker. Fuck him.
Exactly. I was not going to put it as blatantly as that, but yeah, fuck him. Fuck that neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be the cool kid on the block, not that guy.
You want to be Dustin, everybody. So yeah, basically, there's an Inside Ropes t-shirt for sale. There's not one. Like, we have more than one. But yeah, there's limited stock, so do go on there and purchase your t-shirt. And
from size small to what I wear, the old 2XL.
There you go. It's all there for your
sizes. You got them.
Pleasure. And you know, tweet us a picture of you wearing your Inside Ropes t-shirt. That'd be fun.
Do it. Do it. I'll retweet anybody who sends me a picture of their genitals or them wearing an Inside the Ropes t-shirt. Or both. Why not? Why not just settle for one? You could have both.
Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, if I have to look at it, then you have to look at it too. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. That is true. Okay, so let's talk about Monday Night Raw from Kansas City, Missouri. We're a couple of weeks away from Clash of Champions, or as everyone on the show called it, Clash of the Champions, because that sounds better. There's a lot going into this episode. You know, it was going to be, what was the fallout going to be from Kevin Owens becoming the new Universal Champion? A lot going on, so let's see how they got on. So, we opened the show with a conversation with Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon. Mick Foley is, like, convinced that Stephanie knew what he was doing, knew what Triple H was doing last week. Confronts her on it. She's kind of, you know, getting angry and starting to emasculate, as she tends to do. And Foley stands up to her and says, you know, I remember you as that girl with a shy smile. Told a story about Hell in a Cell where she was comforting somebody who had a deceased family member, and Stephanie got a little bit emotional, and Stephanie saying, how am I going to look at the boardroom in the face? Like, I didn't know what happened. Triple H won't tell me, and all this sort of stuff. So they have a nice back and forth. And in the end, Foley, with a great line, just says, well, I have to believe you, because otherwise you're a really good liar and a really bad person. And he can't believe that. For me, this was the beginning of, by far, Mick Foley's best night in WWE television in years.
Yeah, it was, and it's a very little surprise, I think, to anybody who has watched Foley long enough. This guy is possibly the greatest talker in wrestling history. You know, I mean, you have The Rock if you want the funny stuff, but if you're just getting to the searingly searingly deep wounds of a dramatic wrestling performance, in my opinion, it's really hard to top Mick Foley in general. And this was a nice glimpse into that. This felt big. It felt real. It felt genuine. I love Mick, man. I do. And not just because he follows me on Twitter, you guys.
Every week with us.
but I do, though. Mick is just so good at this. This is what he was born to do. And after he cuts a promo like this, you can absolutely rest assured that he is fulfilling his life's duty. As a bit of trivia, the deceased family member that they were talking about, not sure if you knew this, Kenny, is Pat Patterson's longtime partner who passed away that night.
I did not know that. I knew that his partner passed away. I didn't know it was that night. So there you go.
It was. Yeah, there you go. A little bit of trivia. Trivia from Inside the Ropes.
We are here to give you everything. TV reviews, trivia, t-shirts, all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Balloons fell from the rafters. We had a coronation, championship celebration, whatever you want to call it, where Stephanie brought out Kevin Owens as the new Universal Champion. He was in a suit. What I liked about it is he didn't wear a, you know, tie buttoned up. He kind of put his own spin on it, which I quite liked.
He looked so awkward in that suit. It looked like me trying to wear a suit, because as we've already established, all I wear are t-shirts from Squared Circle Tees.
There you go. So Kevin Owens basically came out. The fans were chanting, you deserve it. Kevin Owens, in a masterful way, turned on the fans and told them that them chanting, you deserve it, is them making it about themselves.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, so much. Great? Oh, God, just so good, right? Like,
I've wanted Kevin Owens to be a heel for a long time, and I'm glad that he finally is. Because, like, a lot of times Kevin Owens is the cool heel.
Yeah.
And I thought,
and he's great at it. He's great at it. Let's not sell him short. He is amazing at playing the cool heel.
But I'm more a fan of this Kevin Owens.
This is my guy. Somebody had to say this, right? And I'm happy that it was Kevin Owens who ended up saying it. Exactly. And something else, too, is the You Deserve It chant. Not a huge fan of that chant. And AJ Styles put it recently, not verbatim, I'm not going to quote him directly, but the gist of what he was saying was, every time you chant You Deserve It, it undermines how much a wrestler earned their spot and earned that with their hard work and determination. So, you know, chant You Earned It, not You Deserve It.
So it went on, and in the end, Seth Rollins came out. So we got the answer of whether he's a babyface or not. Seth Rollins stood up to Stephanie in a way that I tremendously enjoyed. You know, because he was convinced that Stephanie knew what Triple H was up to. Him and Owens had a little bit of a back and forth. Mick Foley's trying to kind of calm everything down. Seth ends up trying to beat up Kevin Owens. They have a brawl. Seth Rollins gets the better of it. And then Stephanie McMahon tries to suspend Seth Rollins. And Mick Foley overrules Stephanie McMahon and makes the match for Clash of Champions, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens Championship. I love this opening segment. I loved it.
Yeah, no. It was like 25 minutes long, I think, after all was said and done, and it went by in a jiffy. This was really good TV. I loved the dynamic between all of the performers involved, not just the wrestlers, but Foley and Stephanie. I just thought the entire thing was money, you know? It felt fresh. It felt big. It felt like we were witnessing something new. I mean, a few years ago, John Cena was in the main event constantly. He was in talking points constantly. And now Raw doesn't even have John Cena on their program. And they are keeping things so fresh, so unique. It's such a new, good perspective to have on wrestling. And I loved it. I was really happy with this. And to think that all of this came together just a couple of weeks ago after Finn Balor got hurt, I think that they just made a masterpiece in no time flat. And it was just a makeshift masterpiece at that.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, there's two things I wanted to say about this. Number one, and this sounds horrible and I don't mean it to sound bad, I actually think this is more compelling than had Finn remained champion.
No, I completely agree. And you know what's kind of funny, too, is whenever Finn comes back, he's going to be a more compelling character than whenever he first came up, I think.
Yeah, it's going to give him another layer. And the other thing I think is very crucial to say, I know a lot of people are not a fan of McMahon angles. You included. You stopped.
I am very much included in that, yeah.
However, I'm intrigued by this story. I'm enjoying it so far, but I think the money in the story is that Stephanie's not with Triple H.
I completely agree, Kenny. I wrote in my notes, I said, if this leads to Stephanie turning heel, or, you know, more heel than she currently is, then it's going to be just shit, and I'm not going to enjoy it at all, and it's going to just be Authority 2.0. We've already seen and done that dance. It's old hat. It's time for a fresh hat. Like that new t-shirt that you need to go buy of Inside the Ropes at Square Circle Tees.
Exactly. But do you know what? I'm going to disagree with part of what you said. I do think ultimately she should go heel with Triple H.
Not in the short term, though, at all.
But I think how she should go heel is actually that she had nothing to do with it, but she can never convince anyone to believe her. And that's the catalyst.
That would be good, but could they actually get that across?
I think so. I think they showed on this show that they could, you know, because she was trying to be like...
I don't believe her, though. That's the thing. Both me as a fan and me as a analyst, I don't believe her.
I think if she's able to pull this off to, say, the Rumble or something, and, you know, she's constantly doing the good things and people are still booing her and all that sort of stuff, and eventually she just goes, fuck it, you're going to boo me anyway. I may as well be with my husband. It's not bad. I like it because I think fundamentally she is a heel. So I think that's what it has to end up. But
And also, I love the story of Triple H siding with Kevin Owens. It just makes the most sense in the world.
And Seth Rollins pointing out it as well, pointing out he's...
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's so funny because, like, the second that Kevin Owens went to NXT, you know, he's just such a kiss-ass, right? You know, he downplays everything Bret Hart did in the wrestling industry and this and that. You can tell he's just jockeying for position. He's playing the game, just as Triple H did. And I admire it. I think it's great. It's not a negative trait whatsoever. It's just, it is a trait, though. And it's something that they're bringing into the storyline. And I love it because, Kenny, as a wrestling fan, as long as I've been a wrestling fan, or at least close to how long I've been a wrestling fan, we love it whenever reality comes into these things, don't we?
Yeah, when there's something that you can kind of go, what part of that's not a script? Am I really seeing something there?
Was that a real dig? Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I think it's great. It's compelling TV. This is the most I've been compelled about a main event picture in a long time. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, same here. We got a backstage promo where Mick Foley was with Kevin Owens. Chris Jericho turned up and took issue with Seth getting the title shot. Foley ended up booking Jericho and Rollins for later in the show. And a rematch with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So we'll get to them in a little bit on the show. We got Bayley versus Charlotte in a non-title match. The story going in was that, you know, Charlotte was trying to get Dana Brooke to be better and be on her corner, but in the end, Dana cost Charlotte the match. Bayley hit the Bayley to Bayley for the win in a good match about 12 minutes in. A lot of people are talking about this, David. Bayley getting the non-title win over Charlotte on week 3. Where do you sit on this? What's your kind of gut after watching it?
I think they probably should have held off on this. Martin McKee at Martin_A_McKee on Twitter tweeted both of us and said that he didn't know why they would give away a Bayley win over Charlotte on Raw, and says that it could destroy a story that could main event WrestleMania. I don't think that it's quite that far, but I think giving it away on Raw is a mistake. Especially with the kind of hodgepodgery that they had going on there. I don't know. I felt kind of lukewarm about it. Also, when is Kevin Dunn going to retire? Because because there are so many miscues. How is it that all those students that are learning how to film television, live TV, down at NXT, at Full Sail University, can absolutely nail all these cues? And, like, they get the wacky, wailing, flailing guys. They get those in the full picture, and it just looks gorgeous, and it's wonderful. But Kevin Dunn and his inept crew can't get this done week after week. We still haven't seen them actually capture her entrance properly after 3 weeks of trying. Meanwhile, all these kids that are down there at the university are doing it and nailing it every week. Get rid of Kevin Dunn. There was like 45 different miscues where it was all like, oh, look, somebody hit their finish, but you didn't get to see it because the wrong camera was on there. It's like, all right, Raw needs a new director behind the helm. Kevin Dunn, your 30 years of service were okay, but time to move along. We need somebody new to shoot this shit.
There you go. There's the directive. In terms of the Bayley Charlotte thing, somebody tweeted me about this, and I'm sorry, I forgot who it was, but they'd said, you know, doesn't it bother you that that Bayley, you know, these non-title wins, and asked me if it bothered me, and it does bother me a little bit, but it's one of those things that I kind of, if I'm going to watch WWE on a weekly basis, and I want to enjoy it or find a way to enjoy it, there's some things that they do that I don't particularly like, but I go, do you know what? I just have to accept that that's something that they do. I don't like it, but it is what it is. And that's kind of how I feel about these non-title win things. Sometimes it really bugs me, and other times I just kind of am able to let it go. I think for this one, I wasn't too fussed because I think the ultimate story is that Bayley goes for the belt and she can't win it.
Yeah, I think they're telegraphing that with all of the Bailey wins on TV. You know how it works, Kenny. If you win on TV, then chances are you're losing at the pay-per-view.
Exactly, and I think the idea behind this is that, you know, and I think Martin McKee had a fair point about the, you know, Bailey and Charlotte thing, but Bailey Charlotte's not the plan for WrestleMania. The plan for WrestleMania is Bailey and Sasha. So, you know, they decided to do this program now. Part of it is because Sasha, now Sasha's back, so I guess it's all changed, but Bailey was brought up because Sasha was injured and they thought she was going to have surgery, so a lot of kind of stuff's happened. But for me, like, 3 weeks in, I'm still feeling good about Bailey and where she is, so I'm happy with it. But I do understand the people who are agitated by it as well.
Can I throw something out at you? Just a question. Mm-hmm. Bailey and Sasha, where would that fall on the WrestleMania card, in your opinion?
Do you mean as in placement on the card?
Right. Because a lot of people are saying it'll main event, and I don't think... I'll be perfectly honest. I don't think, so long as Vince McMahon is alive, that two women will ever main event a WrestleMania.
I don't think that match would, or at this point should, main event WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Bailey's ever going to main event WrestleMania, it's a couple of years away. And I think if you did it next year, it would be more of a forced statement.
I would agree with that. It needs to be something natural, but
I would say, like, so say you know, look at WrestleMania 32, for example. I would have Bailey Sasha in the Rock Wyatt spot. I'd have them semi-main.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the only matches that there is no way people will not be totally into it.
I think having them go on second to last, wedged between the Universal and WWE Championship, I think that would be ideal. And I think that's a good transition to set it up to actually main event one day as well.
Here's my prediction. I do think in 2017, women will main event one of the pay-per-views.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. Maybe even one of the biggest... like pay-per-views of the year, even like a Survivor Series or something like that.
Yeah, 100%. So,
but I don't know about WrestleMania closing with a women's match. Long as
no, I don't think so. And I think that you know, tomorrow, just to give you a quick plug, a quick teaser, the SmackDown summary that's coming up this week, Sondra doesn't even know that I'm going to do this, but Vince Russo had made some comments about women in wrestling, related to Sasha Banks, and I'm going to bring it up tomorrow with Sondra, and we're going to discuss how Vince Russo presented women in the Attitude Era, because I'm not going to lie, I did enjoy some of his presentation of women in the Attitude Era, and not for the kind of perverse reasons everyone thinks, but like, there were elements of what he did that I think were good. There are also elements which I think were detrimental, but I think that Sondra is going to be a great person to sort of just, you know, go down that road with. Because if anybody on this podcast or this or Inside the Ropes or whatever can speak to women's wrestling, she is the one to do it. Because, you know, when the three of us were all kind of like, yeah, we'd like to see more, but, you know, we'll settle for what we're getting. She was the one that was pushing, you know. She was pushing back when the Bellas were doing the tag matches to, you know, no, give them more time and do something else and further it. So that's a plug for the SmackDown summary, which I think is going to be very good to listen to. I know Sondra.
That will be phenomenal to listen to, but just imagine me doing my Vince Russo impression every time that Kenny quotes Vince Russo. Okay? Bro! Bro! Bro, I love them titties, bro! Let's go Jets, bro! God is good, bro!
David McCutcheon, ladies and gentlemen, he is the human version of Marmite. They had a thing for Connor's cure. You know, very nice that they're raising money for that. So good for them.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a video highlighting the cruiserweight divisions coming in a couple of weeks. We've got like Grand Metalik, Jack Gallagher, Akira Tozawa, along with Noam Dar, Gargano, Ciampa. Tons of guys coming. So that'll be good.
I'm wondering where they're going to make time for that many guys. You know what I mean?
I'll be honest. They should all be on SmackDown because that show needs to be more.
Oh, man. Imagine how great SmackDown would be if they just brought over all the guys like Ziggler and everything back to Raw and just gave SmackDown to the Cruiserweights. Just like Cruiserweights and AJ Styles. There you go.
I think that Sondra would potentially cry and come at the same time.
Oh, man, the old cry-em combo.
Oh, that was beautiful. Oh,
I do what I can. And, you know, I mean, I'm so well-versed in the old cry-em combo. I mean, it's practically all
you're
I
more
do.
Versed in one than the other, but we'll not go there. Bo Dallas headed to the ring because he believes in Bo. He had a jobber match that he won in, like, 45 seconds. So apparently, if you get drunk at an airport, then you get a push. So good for Bo.
I think what it was is they were so impressed with his drunken rendition of Hakuna Matata from The Lion King that they decided, you know what, this guy, maybe he does have something. Maybe he does have it. I don't know what it is, but we're about... It's like the Chris Jericho it, right? Maybe Bo Dallas has that. Maybe it's an STD. I don't know.
The thing is, I know that Sondra would kill me if I don't give this, 10 seconds of time. I do like Bo Dallas, and I don't think he's ever kind of reached the heights of where he was in NXT on the main roster. So a repackage for him is a good thing. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how long it goes.
I know I'm in the vast minority. I really liked his goofy, inspirational speaker guy thing. I loved it. I thought it was great. But,
I mean, it was good. I think it just never went anywhere. So it was just kind of people don't really
follow right. It was all on creative.
I do genuinely think, though, that of all the times I've seen Bo Dallas in his whole career, I think the singlet he had on this show is the best look that he's had for his physique.
But he's wearing a social outcast thing, though. He needs to update it.
Yeah, he needs to get rid of the outcast thing.
Give him the singlet. The singlet's good because, you know, he does have the little skinny fat pudge going on. Not that that's a knock whatsoever. I'm fat, so skinny fat, perfectly fine by me.
I'm fat, fuck's sake.
But you know, a singlet is a good look for him, just not with a social outcast logo on it.
Agreed. It's like one of my biggest pet peeves in the history of wrestling is at WrestleMania 23 when Shawn Michaels comes out to comes out in the gear of the Heartbreak Kid, but with the music of D-Generation X. Cannot describe.
It's all about presentation.
Do you know what it's like? That would have been like Hulk Hogan and the NWO in the black and white coming out to Real American. Wouldn't happen.
Yeah, right.
Then again, he did come out in red and yellow to Voodoo Child, so maybe I'll just scrap that analogy. Anyway, Jericho and Owens had a backstage thing. They were tremendous, as always. It led to Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho, which I thought was a really, really good match that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins got the pin in just under 14 minutes, and he got the win in the end with the pedigree, little kind of hint to the game, I guess. And I said this on Twitter, I think that Chris Jericho was the perfect first opponent for Seth Rollins as a babyface.
I completely agree, and let me just say that I, more so than anything, both myself and the wife are so excited that Jericho is staying good buddies with Kevin Owens. If they would have had them turn on each other or anything like that, it would have broke my heart. It wouldn't have made much sense. Jericho is at his best right now. He is absolutely on his A game. I don't want to see him change right now. I want to see him stay the course of this heel. I think having him as like the underboss, if you will, if I may steal a phrase from New Japan Pro Wrestling, having him as the underboss to Kevin Owens, the guy you got to go through to get to KO, I think that's a perfect scenario for Jericho right now and the Jericho connection. I like that a whole bunch.
Yeah, he had a $750 suit, and you could see every penny of it.
You can also tell, by the way, in my notes, whenever I really love something, because I will just throw out the most the biggest pile of hyperbole that you will ever imagine. And it just says, Jericho is best. Keep them together forever or I will die. So there you go.
This is coming from the man that I'm pretty positive, and I don't know this through any fact, but I'm pretty sure that when David McCutcheon was a child, in his teen years and he was at school, that if he had like an essay or a test or something that he either wasn't interested in or didn't think he would complete, that instead of attempting it, he would just write "fuck cunt cock sucking motherfucker" and hand it in. That's my prediction of what you would do in that situation.
It's I try to be more charming than that. God, you sell me short. I have such a boisterous personality, and you try to belittle me into just existing in nothing but curse words. Fuck you, Kenny. Suck
well,
my dick.
That catchphrase is taken, sadly. But, so we get the next best of seven.
I bet they made a lot of money on that. Yet they couldn't pay me. Give me some of the Fuck Kenny merchandise money, God damn it! I need that.
I absolutely will. Now, I just want to say now, I'm just doing this because I like you guys. As we are on the line, as we are recording this, I have confirmed the next Inside the Ropes live tour, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
I have had an email. I am sitting looking at an email right now from that person. And
man,
we are going to be doing something so out of the box, you will not believe.
Oh my God. Please tell me, Kenny, that you are going to bring over little Spike Dudley to teach kindergarten class over in the UK. Is that what's going to happen?
Are you like secretly working for Virgil because you want to suggest somebody who's less popular than him?
Don't shit on Spike Dudley, goddammit. I love Spike Dudley.
Wait, not enough people do that. I don't need to join in. So we end up getting up next the Cesaro-Sheamus match number 3. Cesaro's going into injured from last week with a back injury. I really like the touch of him having the tape on his back from where he was injured. And Sheamus beat him in like 4 minutes to go 3-0 in this. Now, I don't want to keep building it the same way. And maybe it's because when I spoke to Sheamus SummerSlam weekend for Inside the Ropes, like, he just kind of won me over again. Like, I kind of realized why I used to like Sheamus. And I think this has been a great decision, giving him the 3-0, because last week the back injury, this week it's still injured. Like, Cesaro is now in a position where he's the underdog to fight back. I enjoyed it. What did you think of this third match in their series? And I guess, I mean, this was more of a story than a match, really. But
it was. And
what did you think?
I dislike it going 3-0. My reasoning being that now it's kind of telegraphed that Cesaro's winning 4 in a row, right? Like,
but wouldn't it be something if Cesaro wins the next 2 and on that third one, Sheamus beats him?
I would actually prefer to see it go 7 and Sheamus win.
Oh yeah, that's good too. Like, options.
Because,
I like.
Right. Because like, if it ends up being something like that, then I think that it would be rather good. That's how I would book it, actually. But I don't know if you want the heel Sheamus fighting the heel Kevin Owens for the title. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I disliked Sheamus winning here, though. Regardless. I'm not sure. I think that Cesaro could have sold the back a little bit more and maybe got like a quick roll-up pin or a schoolboy, something like that, and have a beatdown afterwards by Sheamus and then go on the next time to lose swiftly to Sheamus. But either way, Cesaro is going to win 4 straight now.
There you go. Alternative opinions here on Inside the Ropes. And they are going to have their fourth match in London tomorrow night. Or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this. I hope they tape some footage for the network for that, but I also, you know, I get it. You know, you want to put something on the house shows that make people think, we should go to this, just in case. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Although I feel sorry for my friends who bought tickets for this when they went on sale thinking it'd be a network special, and now it's not. So, those people I feel sorry for. The Shining Stars came out, and I realised that the Shining Stars are absolute shite.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, and maybe this is like a good thing, maybe this is deep down how I should be feeling. I fucking hate Primo's wee smile. See his wee fucking jaunty smile? Oh.
I actually really like Primo and Epico in the ring, but, here's the thing. If you're given the Shining Stars of the Caribbean as your gimmick, how are you ever gonna get over? They're talking as if Puerto Rico isn't a part of the United States or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although I do love the theme tune. If I was ever going to the Caribbean on holiday, I would want that to play as I board the airplane. Enzo Amore comes out and gives birth to an imaginary baby, and then we have a match with Enzo and Casting Stars, which the Shining Stars win when Epico ends up rolling up Enzo and pinning him. So I guess that's the next feud, Shining Stars, Enzo and Cass.
I'm fine with it, in all honesty. I thought the whole segment was pretty good.
It was fun. It was harmless. Yeah. It was fun, and you know, you can't have Enzo and Cass going straight for the belts, so you need to do something. So
plus Enzo and Cass are fun.
Really enjoyed the Sami Zayn backstage promo with Tom Phillips because I thought Sami Zayn basically verbalized what we're all thinking.
He did.
You know? Why? I beat him at Battleground. He's the champion and I'm not doing anything. Like, what's going on? Like, that was I was compelled by him in that segment, especially when Owens came in and they had the final word where Zayn said that he would eventually win the title, but he wouldn't need Triple H's help. Again, you're a massive Sami Zayn fan. Talk me through your emotions on this one.
Giggling with joy. That's essentially it summed up. Sammy, just week in and week out, I feel like he's getting better with his promos. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy who wrestled under a mask for over a decade. So that's really impressive. You know what I mean? I thought this was really good. I was happy that Sammy... we won't talk about the match now, obviously, but I was happy that Sammy was placed in the main event of Monday Night Raw. If you had asked me 5 years ago, hey, do you think that Kevin Steen and El Generico will be in the main event of Monday Night Raw? I would have told you, no. Why would that ever happen? John Cena's on Monday Night Raw.
So, CM Punk's on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan, you know, I mean, it's starting to feel like he could really get some momentum here. Now we don't have any of them. Sad face. This was a good segment.
Sammy, to me, like, I said this before to Sondra, like, I don't think Sami Zayn's talking has particularly been his strong suit, but I thought this was one of his best promos he cut. Just because it was believable.
Here's the thing, though, about Sammy. As well, his talking isn't his strongest suit. Whenever he does talk, he seems like a very genuine person. It doesn't feel like he's reading off of a script like most guys, especially Sheamus.
Now, you know that Sami Zayn and I had a conversation about drinks?
Did you really? Did you mention Iron Brew?
I didn't, but basically what happened was when we were getting ready to record our interview, which you can see on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheInsideNetwork, we were waiting for it to record, and he was drinking some form of coffee or something, and then I just mentioned that... I mentioned something about soda, that I was drinking a soda or something, and he was like, oh, I used to drink soda, but I've cut it out, and... Now I drink flavored water, and he was giving me like suggestions on flavored water. And
never drink the flavored water stuff, Kenny. I love Sammy to death, but that like horse piss.
I was about to say, I'm never going to try flavored water, but Sami Zayn, the compliment to him, he is one of the few people that I would lie to his face and go, oh, that sounds good. I'll try it. That's how much I like him. So,
Sammy said, and see, that's the thing about Sammy, too. He wanted to have a nice conversation with you about a thing.
He did. He was lovely. He was a gent.
Exactly. What a genuine man. I love him.
Can't understand why you like him, but there you go. Nia Jax faced off against Anne Esposito and, defeated her handily in a very quick amount of time. We'll get to that later because there's something that came out of that. Okay, here's the thing that everybody's talking about, and most people are saying it in one way, but I think you summed it up on Twitter pretty well, so I'm going to throw it to you. The... Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows segment where they came out as retirement specialists. They introduced the Old Day. Then the New Day came out and interrupted back and forth, and eventually the New Day beat up the Old Day, and that was the end of the segment. They're having a tag team title match at Clash of Champions, not Clash of the Champions, apparently. A lot of people hated this segment. How did you feel about it?
I didn't like it, but there were portions of it that got a rise out of me. I think you mentioned on Twitter that you also appreciated this, so I'm going to ask you, how great was the slowed down New Day theme whenever they played it.
I hate myself. Absolutely. Like, I legitimately, because I watched it this morning, we're recording this very late Tuesday night, I watched this morning and I hated myself for a good couple of hours that I laughed at the intro and the slowed down music. I hated myself for it. Because it was so shit.
It was. It got
a rise at me. I can't deny it.
Yeah. The slow down. Whenever they did that, and then it's just like. I was just like, oh god, this is horrible.
You know my favorite bit though? For whatever reason, I don't know why. So the New Day come out, and the Old Day managed to convince them that they're just kind of going to stay out their way. And then as the New Day are dancing, one of the Old Day guys just whacks Big E with his walking stick. And Big E just kind of is like, nope, 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 nope. And he's trying to motion to Xavier and Kofi that, like, nope, he hit me with a stick, we need to get him. And the way he did it, I was just like, you know, all these people that say, oh, Big E should have a singles push. I don't know, like, not right now, because I really love him in the New Day. He's my favorite member, I think. Well, no, I don't know, Xavier, oh, I love them all.
I was going to say, they're all really good. That's why the New Day is so good.
Yeah, there's not a weak link in the team. Yeah, this segment was shit, though, to be fair.
It was really bad. A lot of people, I got several tweets saying that now the New Day have jumped the shark. I don't think that damaged the New Day at all. I think that all that X-Pac heat, for lack of a better term, love you, X-Pac, if you're listening, all of that go-away heat that it was getting over the internet, I don't think it tarnishes the New Day. I think it all goes to the club. Because the club, in this kayfabe world, the club presented that. They were the ones who thought it was funny. They were the ones who brought it out and said, look at this, we're here to make fun of the New Day. Aren't we funny? And the crowd gave a resounding, no!
Well, the thing with the New Day is, the New Day, you know, I like the New Day, but I do find some of their stuff tiresome, I'm not going to lie. But I think even the people who like them, you give them a lot more of a pass than you give a lot of other people, comedy-wise.
Yes.
Because
they're
so much fun that you can go, okay, if one's a dud, the next one will
probably. Here's the thing about the New Day, right? They were in this shit segment, and then Big E did the nope, 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 nope thing, and won you immediately over. And you were like, ah, shit, I love Big E. That is why the New Day will never get stale. Because no matter how much shit they're put through, they're bulletproof. It's like Jericho losing matches these days. Sure, he can lose a lot of matches. It doesn't matter. They are absolute bulletproof. They will take no damage from anything. And they will go out the next night and do something that makes you love them even more than you did before. That's the New Day. And that's why they've been successful for over a year now.
Well said. Okay, I'm going to continue my strike about talking about Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. I don't want to talk about it.
You know what? I even did a strike for watching it. I fast-forwarded through the entire thing.
There you go. Darren Young beat Jinder Mahal. We're not talking about it. Fuck off, you terrible storyline. Alicia Fox was backstage. It was actually her friend that Nia Jax had beaten earlier on. Alicia Fox basically started flipping out, and Jax shoved her, and then Jax walked away, and Fox was kind of throwing a temper tantrum. I'll be honest, I thought I liked Nia Jax here, and I thought Alicia Fox brought it down. I thought she was too comedic for my liking.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of issues with the crazy black women, right? Like, that was something that I was getting a lot on Twitter was, all the black women are crazy now. Let's, you know, throw that up.
To be fair to them, because I know that you know, you do sometimes have a go at them for racially stereotyping.
I
think a lot of the time you're right. But I do think the crazy thing applies just to women generally sometimes.
It does, and it is definitely a problem. That said, we don't really, like, think of all the women on Monday Night Raw, right? You know, you have Nia Jax, you have, you know, the big strong type.
She's not like most girls.
No, she's not, which I always thought it was, I'm like monsters or something.
Which, by the way, just to let you know, King Ross from What Culture and I have ordered 2 Nia Jax t-shirts that we will be sporting very soon, because I am a big Nia Jax fan. She retweeted me yesterday when I said that I'd bought her t-shirt. So it's a love affair that continues to blossom.
I love Nia Jax. She is beautiful. She is absolutely terrifying. She's fantastic. I love Nia Jax.
She's also a great role model for fuller figured women.
I absolutely agree. She's phenomenal. She is a hell of an athlete as well. But the thing is, though, is like right now we don't really have a crazy woman on the roster, right? Like.
Yeah, so it's okay. It's kind of, you know, you can have
characters. Yeah, a lot of people were like, they're making black women look crazy and this and that. And I'll be honest, I try to check my white privilege at the door, my white male privilege, but I don't really see it in this instance. I thought that the segment overall was okay. I think that she will be a good opponent for Nia Jax. And you have to utilize this undercard. And Alicia Fox is a good portion of that, so... Gotta use her, and if this is a character that they want to present, then, hey, they don't have anyone else like her right now on the roster. So, you know, for better or worse, that it is a unique character right now. Though, she threw, like, a tissue box and hit Nia Jax right in the face with it.
And Nia Jax just no-sold it.
And then she goes, like, immediately, Alicia Fox is all like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And then she like realized in a split second, "Oh shit, I'm on live TV." And then she's just like, "No, I don't even care about you." I was just like, okay, that was kind of funny. That won me over with the segment. I was like, that was funny. Okay, I'll take it.
At least Alicia Fox is going to be killed, and that's not literally.
Not literally. We all love Alicia Fox here. We don't want to see her dead.
No, we don't. Braun Strowman beat Sin Cara in a couple of minutes by a count out, just destroyed him. Then Sasha Banks made her entrance for a... It had been hyped that she had some bad news. She basically did a kind of 3 to 4 minute interview talking about, you know, women from the past and where women have come and all that sort of stuff. She was teasing retirement until Dana Brooke came out, interrupted, and then Sasha put her in the bank statement and said the bad news is for Charlotte because she... is coming for her title. Now, I was watching this morning, and I'm not really the sort of person that just jumps in a bandwagon of opinion. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people really hated this segment, and I thought Sasha Banks was great here. For whatever reason, when she started that promo, I was so invested, terrified that she was actually going to announce her retirement. They hooked me in, hook, line, sinker, and by the end of it, I was so happy that she was going to be coming back and going after Charlotte for the title. I lost myself in the segment. And I don't lose myself in a lot of wrestling segments nowadays. So for me, that's the sign that it won me over. Whether you like her voice or the way she speaks or the way she delivers, because she's not the best promo in the world, she's not anywhere near it, but for whatever reason, it connected with me, and that's why. I think the realism of it added to me. But I'm curious for you, David. I know a lot of people hated it. How did you feel about it?
I was directly in the middle of the road with it. I thought that she did a really good job, but then it ended up being a swerve, and I was like, I'm really happy that she's not hurt, but that's mean. Don't do that to me.
Like, we already had to do that one time this year. We don't want to do it again.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That was my thing, is like, the wound from the previous time it happened is... still fresh, and I'm still picking and scratching at it, and it keeps bleeding, and it's not healing right. So to just pour a bunch of salt on it, no, don't do that. That's mean, right? Like, I don't know. As soon as I heard Dana Brooke's music cue up, though, I just immediately sighed with relief. I was like, oh, God, they wouldn't do this if she was actually retiring. Thank God.
Yeah, they really... Kudos to them. I thought it was a good little swerve. Then we got the main event, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, non-title match, went about 13 minutes. In the end, there was an ankle injury Sami Zayn got. Again, bestseller in the company.
Bestseller in the company.
And Kevin Owens wins with a powerbomb. What do you think?
Yeah, it was just perfect, right? Right, the finish.
Do you think these two could have a bad match if they tried to?
No, I've been watching them for a decade. They can't. Especially at this stage of their career, right? And, like, the ankle injury, just the way that he, like, rolls his ankle, you're just like, oh, my God, it looks like it hurts. It looks like it hurts. At least trying to run on it and do the haluva kick. Oh, man. And then he just ends up... Because the thing I love about this is it's like, oh, holy shit, Sammy's going to beat him again, right? And he's got him there for the finish, and then his ankle gives out on him as he's running for the Huluva kick. And he would have beat him otherwise. You can't convince me otherwise, Kenny. Sami Zayn was going to win that match if he hit the Huluva kick, but he couldn't. His ankle gave out on him, and he was a sitting duck there. It was like shooting fish in a barrel for Kevin Owens, who ended up hitting that power bomb for the pin.
Ugh. Yeah, it was great. And then post-match, Roman Reigns turned up. I forgot he existed. He turned up, and basically, long story short, Mick Foley has made a match next week with Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens. If Roman Reigns wins, he's in the title match at Clash of Champions. And then Roman Reigns gave Jericho a spear, and Kevin Owens walked away. I thought it was a decent segment to end the show, and it makes sense for Roman to get something because he did kind of get screwed as well. So I guess, you know, to kind of keep the peace, it's fine. I hope secretly that Rusev costs him next week and we go back to that. How do you feel about the whole Roman thing?
I completely agree with you. I don't want to see Roman in that title match. I'm perfectly fine with seeing Roman against Kevin Owens in a one-on-one matchup, but enough of this triple threat bullshit. I just want to see a one-on-one contest, damn it.
Can't two men just fight on their own?
Right, exactly. Do we need this many shenanigans? My one issue that I had with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is... Was Sami Zayn, the last time that these two faced one-on-one, was Sami Zayn winning clean at the pay-per-view? I thought that it was kind of a mistake to just throw this on there. I thought that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is a better long-term feud for him as champion. Not that I want Sami Zayn to win it, even though I do, but I think that he would make a good losing opponent to Kevin Owens during Kevin Owens' reign as champion. But it's really hard to pick up the pieces and move this into a pay-per-view program after you just gave it away for free on Raw. I hope I'm wrong there. I really do, but I don't know.
I think there's a way to salvage it, but I think you've got your concerns are definitely valid for what it could be. I think I kind of like maybe the story of Sami Zayn needs to improve his game and then come back and try again.
Well, I do like that, you know, like I said, he would have had him had he not gotten hurt. And that's a great story. That's a good story to tell.
And they will keep that up. Because I've noticed a lot in the last kind of 3-4 months that there have been things they've done that have been referenced again 5 or 6 months later. And I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
They didn't do that for a long time, so I'm glad that's come back. But David, overall, this Monday Night Raw, out of 10, we like to rate on the Raw Rundown. What is your rating out of 10 and why?
I would give this one a simple 7 out of 10, I would say. There were some ups, there were some downs. In fact, there were more downs than ups, actually. I'm going to knock this one down to a 6.5, I think, Kenny. That New Day segment kind of drug on a little bit too much. And just in general, I don't know. I don't know. There just wasn't enough noteworthy stuff that happened. It started so strong, too, but it really petered out by the end of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going to give it a 7 just because it never really dragged for me as a show. I enjoyed most of what they either tried to do or did. I thought Kevin Owens was great through the whole show. I really enjoyed his first night as champion. Two really good matches with Seth and Jericho and Sammy and Kevin. Opening segment was tremendous. Bayley Charlotte was a really good match. The Sasha thing had me. So there was a lot of stuff on here that I liked. There was some stuff that I wasn't too keen on, but overall, I'll go 7 out of 10.
Sounds good.
Now, just before we go, just a kind of very quick serious thing, and I'm not accusing anybody that's listening to this of doing this, but earlier today, a video leaked on TMZ of Scott Hall, who has apparently relapsed into alcohol again. And I just want to say that, like, it sucks to see, but let's not be so quick as to throw him under the bus, you know? Sometimes we have bad days, shit happens, we don't know what goes on. Let's just hope for him that this is just a bad day, and he's going to get back to normal and get back on that train to recovery, because he's a guy that I very much want to be a good ending rather than a bad one.
Absolutely, and it's absolutely imperative to go and be positive to a recovering addict. Never look at it as, oh no, he fell off the wagon or anything like that. Because if there's one thing in life, is you can fall down and you can get back up again.
Every time. But that's been us here on the Raw Rundown. David, Twitter, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitter box, the Twitter machine, at ZoopSoul. That's ZOOPSOUL. Kenny, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Ain't I great?
No. Aww. You can get me at KennyMC1985. And do you know what? Head over to Scott Hall NWO and send him some love.
Yeah, do it. Send him a positive message. Tell him how much you enjoyed him in a certain match, that you're thinking of him. The whole nine yards, man. Scott Hall, big Scott Hall, fantastic. He had a great mustache in the 80s, you guys. All you kids don't even know about that.
He did. Big Scott Hall. A great new DVD as well that came out recently, so check that out too. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. I will be in Vancouver, Canada, so we might even get to record this on the Monday night. You never know what can happen inside the ropes. I will be live. I will be able to record it right after for the next 2 weeks. We may take advantage of that, depending on David's schedule.
I can always bend my schedule for you. Did you guys catch that?
I fucked up
saying schedule.
We got it. We got it.
Like I'm some sort of person from England and Scotland. Ugh. true story. There is no word. Like every other time that someone from the UK says something differently from Americans, I absolutely agree with them, right? But schedule, just, oh, God. Ugh. So gross sounding. Ugh. I prefer my words to be sharp, you guys. Schedule. It doesn't make any sense. I realize it.
I want you all to go over to Twitter, @inside_theropes. I'll say it again. We are looking for a new co-host of the Raw Rundown. The two absolute requirements are that, number one, you're not called David, and number two, you're not from St. Louis. So if you apply,
and apparently there's a third one where you have to pronounce schedule all gross like. Apparently
The one time I pronounce schedule in a funny way, just to be trying to have a laugh, and this prick just fucking comes down on you like a sack of shit. Well, sir.
That's my specialty. That's my thing.
I will bid you good day. And yeah, follow this fuck on Twitter if you want. Who cares? This is all. I'm just gonna turn this off. Goodbye.
Don't clear your schedule,
Marmite motherfucker.